I'm amazed at how many people don't know when the vacation. We got a week off.
Thursday?
I knew we had it.
10 to 3.
10 to 3 on both Tuesday and Thursday.
Tuesday, Thursday.
Tuesday and Thursday. Pat will be here from 10 to 3.
You're gonna be in this room.
I will be maybe.
He'll find a home. You know what he looks like.
I think honestly
so.
That would be a good idea because no one would be here anyway. Yeah. So, and I like this one. Right. So if I get this one open, yeah, I'll be here. I'll be in OK101.
Oh, I'll definitely be in that.
Because I know a lot of people in other classes are gonna be here, and I'm gonna need the room. So yeah, you know what? It's K101. So.
Assuming it hasn't already been booked, but there will be a room around here that isn't booked, so.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, there are some people that are having classes during break to make up for the snow days.
Ugh. Okay. Well, if this isn't...
I've heard.
If this one is taken, I'll be here 118.
One of you goes in today.
Huh?
We missed last Thursday.
Oh, he was out last Thursday like I was.
Oh, yeah.
Was out last Thursday.
Oh, no, Thursday.
They canceled class.
I didn't
even have to come because honestly, I came in for my morning class at my math class at 9:30, and it was snowing so bad it took me like 20 minutes. I literally was like 5 minutes away. It took me like 20 minutes to get over here. So I was like,
No, I mean, my cold was bad. It was lousy, and I looked at the weather and I said,
well, that's what I said. I said, it's snowing like this. I said, she lives an hour away. I said, I better check to see if she's even coming into class or she's going to be online. I looked, it was online. Then they were saying, the way it was snowing, they were probably going to close the school at 2, so I said, forget it, I just ended up going home.
No, right.
I didn't even go back. Right.
No, right.
Closing at 2 anyway, so.
So that's the scoop. I will be here the week of, from the 16th to the 20th, I will be here on the 17th and 19th, Tuesday, Thursday, from 10 to 3.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. Okay.
And I will try to post it up anyway.
All right.
You're going to 118 right now?
Yeah, 118. Okay. I'll be there.
Okay, so how many of you looked at the stuff that I asked you to look at last Thursday? Yeah, right. I like your response. At least he looked slightly guilty. He looked like, what are you talking about? I like your response better. All right, then we will pretend that I didn't tell you to do stuff, and we will start there. But I may go a little bit faster, so anyway. Okay, so we're going in, and what I want to look at is arrays. And I do want to make sure that you understand them, so we're going to go in and look at them. And I'm going to first look at, let's see which one is supposed to be the first one. I told you that. Department array. Okay, so that's the one we'll look at first is department array. And those are under the .NET. They're not under, I'm looking at the stuff under the .NET first.
Did we download that last week?
If you read my directions, you did. Okay, so there's a whole set of array problems out under the vb.net, and I did a much better job of doing the basics under them because I just went with what the book did more and the other ones. So let me see if I can actually find it. We're actually in good shape in this class, so it doesn't much matter. Okay, vb.net. Programs, and what I'm looking at is down here under arrays. Okay, and arrays zipped should have in it both introduction and introduction continued, and those are the two things that we're going to look at. We won't get to two-dimensional arrays today, I'm sure. Okay, so those are what you're looking at is arrays zipped if you download that and look at them. But if you're sitting up in the front of the room, you can probably even see them up here. Okay, so this is what an array is. An array is basically something where I can set up a collection of fields and have them be accessible with an index or a subscript. When I first started programming, one of my first programs that I was given involved a date. And I was supposed to take the number of the month and turn it into the day when I wrote out the date. And so I had 12 if statements, or 11 if statements, where I said, you know, if month equals 1, January, if month equals 2, February. And my boss called me over and said, you know, it would have been easier to do an array. And he was right, because I could have set up an array that went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and put January, February, March up there, and I could have used an array. So we're going to look at an array. Now, an array starts with zero, which is fine, but it's not terribly practical, because how many times do you really want the zeroth thing? So you end up lots of times adding one to it, or writing on the zero thing, this doesn't, you know, invalid or something like that, because, you know, it's one of those times when how many times do you want the zero thing? So, to start an array, I said dim department array 3 as string. And the 3 is the maximum number in the array. It's not the number of elements, because I'm going to have a zeroth element. It's the maximum number. So it is 0, 1, 2, 3. When I'm using a direct subscript, which I am, it is 0, 1, 2, 3 are the 4 numbers that will go in there. So I said dim department array 3 as a string. And now in form load, say department array 0 is going to have books, department array 1 is going to have toys, and so forth. So what I've done is I've set up this, and I've set up books and toys and gifts and cookware, and I am calling these department array. And if I say to do something with department array modified by 0, it will give me books modified by 1, modified by 2, modified by 3. That's the index or subscript, or some people even call it a pointer. And sometimes when I'm talking English, I call it a pointer. But the technical term probably I would use pointer. So I've set up the array and dimensioned it, and now I've said this is what I'm putting in the array. I'm putting in those 4 things, and I'm going to be able to extract them with an index. And I have the line up here that says text department dot text equals department array modified by the text department number. Okay? So let's watch it run. If I take this out of here and I say, okay, start, and I said here, enter the department number. Valid values are 0, 1, 2, and 3. So I'm going to put in 2. And I'm saying get department name, and it gets me gifts. Because what it went to do is it went to the array, found the department array indexed by 2, and said, oh, that's gifts, and gave me gifts. Now the problem is that if I ignore instructions and I put a 5 or a 6 in there and say get department name, it crashes. Okay? So, whenever I use an array, I should put in the code that I have down below, which is where I test. And I said, if it is numeric. If it's not numeric, I put out non-numeric department number. Then I say, okay, if it's the integer value in there, there is less than or equal to 3, then go ahead and take it. Otherwise, put out invalid to pouch number. And just to be very sure that it knew it was a number, I did a convert to integer. Okay, so if I put in the 6 now, and I use this one, it tells me invalid department number. If I put in an A, and I do it there, it tells me non-numeric department number. And if I put in a 2, it tells me gifts. Okay? So that's how an array works. And what's its value? Its value is that you can do something like this, where I'm going to have somebody enter a department number, and I want it to come out with a name. Okay? So it just, it's lots of times a lot easier. Anything that you can do with these basic arrays could be done with if statements. But the array is probably an easier way of doing it. Okay? And then we'll look at some things that where arrays make it easier, a lot easier. So this is the basic setup of an array. Anybody have any questions? Okay. Then I'm going to look at the next one. Close solution, file. And I went down with these departments. I've got a 4. Okay. So this one is one where on the load, I'm taking in user input. Okay. And the last one on the load, I set up the array. But again, remember I told you about the jewelry store that my husband had that changed the prices all every day?
Yeah.
This would be a nice way of doing it if I put the prices in different places in the array. So I had item 1, item 2, item 3, item 4, and then I have them put the prices in before they start running the program. The price for item 1, the price for item 2, and so forth. And so with this one, I have a for loop. And since the array will take up to 3, I say for I equals 0 to 3. And then I put up and said input, tell me the thing, and then store it in department array modified by I. So the first one is the 0th one, then the 1st, then the 2nd, then the 3rd. So I have no idea what I did before, but let's say boys, girls, women's, men's. Okay, so that's what I've got. And now, if I hit a 2, I am getting women's. Okay, so I set it up, and now I can go ahead and process. So the only difference between this and the other one that I did was that here I am having the user set it up. And with the other one, I am setting it up on the load. Questions? Okay. Your job is to interrupt me if you have questions. File, open project. I think the next one is department implicit. Okay, this time I put the array out in a module. And then I actually commented it out and put it in the main program. But I don't think I commented it out on you guys. I think you have it in the module still. I was playing with this and I commented it out just to show you the other way of doing it. When I create a module, okay, I go up to Project, Add Module. Okay, so I go to Project, Add Module. back. For some reason, it won't let me take the picture on that one. There we are. Okay. This one is called Department Array Implicit. Okay. So I set it up out here in the module. So I created a module, and again, what you do when you create a module is you go Project, Add Module. And then it comes up lit up with module, and I give it a name down at the bottom and say add, which I'm not going to do. I just give it a name there and say add. So I called mine mod array. Okay, so I gave it a name of mod array. I clicked on the add and it added the module array. Okay, now when we get to multiple forms, which we will get to, having things out in a module is somewhat useful because all of the forms can see it. So if I have three or four forms, they can all see it. Okay, the other thing that I am doing here differently is this is a different way to set up the array. I said dim department array as string, and then inside the parentheses or the curly braces, I put 0, 1, 2, and this one would be 3. So it would create the array for me. Okay, so it is creating the array for me, and I make it public. Okay.
You don't have to change those numbers, right? 0, 1, 2, 3.
It will take whatever you put first as 0, and in fact, that's one of the downsides of it, is it's going to make whatever you put first 0. So if I wanted 0 to be worthless, I would put in 0, not valid, up there, and then books would be the next one over. And then books will be assigned 1. Okay, so in mine, when I went and did this, and I look at the form, I need to close the enclair. Okay, I came in and I put it in here so you could see it both ways. So you can go ahead and type that in too if you want to. Where I said dim, this time it's dim, not public, because it's inside the code. Public means it's available to every form, so I make it public. So I said dim department array, and then the rest of it looks exactly like it did when I put it in the module. The difference is between the dim and the public. Okay? So I said dim department array, and that's just a different way of setting it up. So now, if I put in the 2, I am going to see gifts. Just like, because, again, this is 0, this is 1, 2, 3. So if I put in the 2, I'm getting gifts. Okay.
So if you have it the other way, it just automatically reads the module?
Yes. Yes.
So you don't have to code nothing into the
code.
It's just,
nope.
It'll automatically
nope.
pick it up?
Nope. If I go out of the... Well, go ahead and run it, because you have just the module. You don't have the other stuff. And so if you run yours, it's going to work just fine. Okay. So you can dim it locally in the program, or you can set it up in the module.
Any preferred method of how they...
Not really, I don't think. I mean, if I've got multiple forms, then definitely, yes, it's preferred to put it out there. Because then all of the forms can access it. If I have multiple forms, and we're going to look at multiple forms next, it's kind of hard to decide whether to do arrays or multiple forms. Because they both talk about each other, kind of. And I decided arrays was more important, so we do that next. And then we'll go back and do multiple forms. But in this case, it doesn't matter. I probably wouldn't set up a module on this. I did it more to show you than anything else. So if I come here and I put in now a 0, it gives me books. Okay? And if you have it, you know, you have it set up with the module and it's working fine, I assume?
Yeah.
It's working? Okay. Okay. Now, unfortunately, I got to figure out what I want next. I actually went through this as a handout that I put up when I knew I was not coming in. Okay, open project. I'm actually going to go back and look at that. Because it will tell me the order that I did it. I think. Procedures and functions. Maybe I just hallucinated that I did. No, I don't think I told you which order. I said start looking at the arrays under VB. Gee, I made a list for myself. I should have shared with you. Okay. Well, I think we're just going to plow ahead and see where we go. Airfare is, I'm going to just double check before I do it. No, that's probably not it since I didn't have it checked. No, that's a two-dimensional array and we're not going to do those today. So, closed solution, and I guess I'll just move on to the ones that I want to cover, and if we haven't hit them all, we're fine. Okay, parallel array we'll look at next. This is the one I think I actually asked you to do for homework. Okay. These two arrays are parallel. It's a lovely world when everything comes in as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, but that's not how reality works. Okay, so on this one, I have department numbers that are 15, 26, 37, and 56. Okay? So, I can't set them up as 0, 1, 2, 3, because if somebody enters department 26, it's going to not find it in an array that goes 0, 1, 2, 3. So what I did here is I set up two arrays. One has the name of the number of the department, and the other has the name. And this is kind of simplistic, and we're going to look at this, and then we're going to do something practical with this. Okay, so I've got it basically, if you run this, and I click the button, it tells me 15 goes with books, 26 goes with toys, and so forth. So all I did was say, go from 0 to 3 using I, and print out the name and the number. So I said, in the list box, list department items, add department number array followed by I, and department name or department array followed by I. So I'm just showing you which ones go together. This is pretty worthless, but it was just showing you how the parallel arrays work. Okay, so that's a parallel array. And then I'm going to do a file, and I'm going to use that. So open project is, let's try search array. Okay, so I've got the same thing set up that I set up before. I've got two arrays defined up here at the top, each of them with 3 being the total. The max. And I've got the tool arrays set up. In the load, I filled the array. So I set up the arrays in the load. And I could have set it up the other way. The curly brace around them, either way works. It doesn't matter which way I do. So what I want to do now is I want the person, and let's run it and see what I want to happen. I want the user to be able to enter 26 and, 26 and get the department name, which is toys. Okay, so that's what I want. So I want the user to enter 26. Now, what do I practically have to do? When the user enters 26, I need to search this list and find the 26. And I found it with the index of 1. So I come down here to the index of 1 and take out toys. So I search it, find the one that I want, and use its index to go to the second array. Okay, so I'm going through those steps. Now here's where I do that. Here's the search. I said dim index or indicator found. It's an indicator. Dim indicator found as a string and make it a no. So that means I'm going to search until I find a matching number. Well, I'm going to start out saying, no, I haven't found a matching number, right? Then I'm saying, okay, now set up the work subscript as 0. So work subscript is going to be the thing that is going to go through and examine each one of those things. So, when do I want to stop? I want to stop looking for a matching number when one of two things happens. I find the number, or I've checked everything, and it's not there. Okay, so what I do is, if I check and I'm looking for 45, and I search, it tells me no match found. Okay, so I want to stop the search when I either find the number or I've checked everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm saying do while indicator found equals no, which means I haven't found it, and work sub is less than department array length. Okay? Department array length has got the four things in it. It has got four. Department array length is 4. So I'm saying, well, work sub is less than 4, which means 0, 1, 2, 3. Okay? So do while it's a no, and I haven't checked everything, is what I basically said here. Okay? So now I go in and I ask, is the department number that was typed in on the form equal to the department number in the array that sub is pointing to? And sub started out at 0, so it is looking at the 0th element. So it's right now looking at 15. Okay? If it's a match, then move y to indicator found. So if I do 15, it immediately finds it and gives me books. So move Y to indicator found. Else, add 1 to the subscript. So if you don't find it, add 1 to the subscript. And then I loop back. Okay? So I'm checking. Is it N? No, because yes in this case, when I put in the 15, yes, it's N. And so, I'm sorry, it's Y. I got my confusion mixed up. If I had put in the 15, it would have found it on the first look, so it would set indicator to Y. When it comes back up here, is indicator found equals no? No, it's equal to Y.
so I drop out.
Okay. And when I drop out, I come down, and because there were two reasons that I could leave, the two reasons are I found it, or I checked everything and I didn't find it. So I have to ask when I get out, was the indicator found equal to Y? If it was, go to the name array, which is called department array, and use the zero to pull out books. Okay. Now, if I put in here 26 or 37, let's go to a little higher, it comes up with gifts. So what I've done there is, again, I start out with N, I make that zero, I say do while it's N, and the sum is less than the length. So I check, is it equal? No. So I add one to sum. So sub is now up to 1. And I go back, it's still N, and 1 is less than the length. So I check, okay, is the thing I typed equal to the thing modified by 1? No, 37 is not equal to 26. So I add 1. I add 1 to work sub. I loop back. Is it indicator found equal to N? Yep.
Okay, is why add one?
So that I will look at the next thing down. Okay, work sum is a pointer telling me which one to look at. If I left it at 0, it would always compare to 15.
Oh, okay.
But when it gets to 1, it's going to compare to 26. When it gets to 2, it's going to compare to 37. When it gets to 3, it's comparing to 56. So I have to keep up in it so I look at the next thing. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so it's basically
you
like
for
a...
You?
Okay. So it's basically like a file. You're just going through each one.
Yeah, right.
So every time it adds one, it'll drop down in the array and look at the next one.
That's right. But, yeah, exactly. Every time I add one, the array work sub gets bigger, and when I say look at department num array modified by work sub, it goes to 1, and then when it works up as a 2, it looks at this one, and then when it works up as a 3, it looks at that one. Okay? So that finds the match. Okay, if we put in here a message box that says, show me works up, okay, and we run this. And I'm going to put 37 in. Whoops. And so I'm going to, okay, it's now added one. It started out with 0. I have the work, I have the alert after it's added one. So it's now 1. Okay. And then if I click the OK on the alert, it's now 2. Okay. And so I've just added, and I add just prior to going back. So I loop up, it's now got an N and a 2. Is 2 less than 4? Yeah. So it's now checking, is the number I typed in, which is a 37, equal to the number in the array modified by 2? Because I've now got 2. And so it checks, is 37 equal to 37? Yes. Right? Because it's checking to see if what I typed in, which is 37, is equal to what's in the array modified by 2, because it's now, works up, is now a 2. And they're equal. 2 has a 37. I have a 37 over there, so they're equal. Okay.
And if you put a number in that wasn't there, it basically just go through.
We'll go through and do that. That's right.
Once it gets. Well, it only do the first array, right?
Yeah.
The other one's just given.
Now the other one has a different name.
Yeah. All right.
So then I'm going to click OK now, and it has found the match. And so it is putting out gifts. Okay.
You can only go up to 4.
Yes, because I said go to the department array length. And there's 4 things in the array, so it's only going to go up to the length.
But you can do more.
Well, I can't because I don't have anything more in there.
I'm saying,
but if I had 20 in there, then length would be 20.
That's what you're asking, right? You can
yeah.
Do more than 4. Yeah, you may
sure.
Do more than 4 in like another program.
Oh, absolutely. So now I'm going to put the 45 that I did before and say search. So it goes to 1. Again, remember that I'm adding at the bottom. I could have put that message box at the top, and then you'd watch it go to 0. But we're adding, so we're putting the 1. And then there's the 2. There's the 3. There's the 4. And at that point, it's out because...
No match.
It's because work sub, which is up at 4, is not less than the length of the array. So that means it checked everything, and therefore it's done. And down at the bottom, when I get out, I say, did I get out because I found it? In which case, put out, go to the bottom array. I found it when department array was 2, so come down here and use 2 to get gifts. Okay? If it didn't find it, it takes the else and puts out, no match found. Okay, because there were 2 reasons that it could leave here. One is that I changed the N to a Y. The other is I've checked everything. Okay, when I've done this before, people have asked me why I needed to put the work week sub in an else as opposed to just having an if and ending the if, and then just saying always add 1 to work sub. Why won't that work?
Because if it was just in the if and always add 1 to it, it'd be giving you the wrong information, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. If I add to it every time, then once I've done the found, I would still add 1 to it.
Yeah.
So it would then take the next thing. So if I found the match when the index was 2 and it was 37, if the add was for everybody, the 2 would become a 3, I would come down here and pull out cookware.
And then when you were trying to pull the last one, you wouldn't be able to because...
Right. So if I go in here and I change this, and I make that instead an end if, and I get rid of this. There, I think I've done it right. End if. Yeah, whatever. Okay, if I run this now. Okay, so I'm gonna put in 26 this time. And do a search, and it says 1, and then it says 2, and then it shows gifts. Okay? And 26 is toys. So it went in, and it added 1, okay, because it always adds 1. So the fact that it found the match when the index was 1, it adds 1 and makes it 2, and it goes in and gets gifts. So, that is a bad plan. Okay. Did I manage to fix it? I think so. Okay, so do you see how the search works? And this is more reality. Because you're frequently not having a number, okay? You can also do this with non-numerics. So I could set this up and have it CIS, or CI, BU, OF, EN, all those up there, and then write computer information systems that are, and write the full name out there. And so people could put in the code. I look for a match to the code, and I can pull out the full name. Which is nice, because you much prefer to have people only have to type in a two-digit code rather than type in a whole name. And if you want the whole name to show, then you can just pluck it out of the array. So this allows for non-numerics as well as numerics. Okay, so I could put again, CIBU, that sort of thing up there, is the code in department number. And then in department array, I could have computer information systems, business, etc. Okay. Questions? Okay, close solution. Yeah, I have no idea. Okay, search parallel. Okay, soups, I think, is what I want. Maybe not, although I may have grabbed it from someplace else. Okay, so here I have a bunch of stuff going on. I've got soup numbers and soup names. Must have been lunchtime. So I can go in with a soup number and I can pull out a soup name. Okay, now what I'm doing on this one. Okay, is I am reading in a record. And we'll look at the record. But notice that I'm doing down here, file open, open file one, its name is soup, and I'm opening it for input. So I am reading a record that has on it clearly the order number, the item number, and the number audit. Okay, so if I look at that file, I will see the order number, the item number, and the number audit. And the item name is being retrieved from this array. So the file only has the item number on it. I want to see the item name, and so I go and retrieve it from the array. So the item number of 12 gets me on chowder. And that's what I see up there, is corn chowder. Okay. When I read the next one, I'm seeing onion soup. Okay. When I read the next one, I'm going to see wonton soup, green pea, tomato, green pea, seafood, match not found. So item 34 was entered, and there was no match to it. So I'm coming out with match not found. And then I read on clam chowder, match not found, chicken soup, and end of file has been reached. Okay. So first, let's look at the okay, this is on this drive. And this one is called Soup Search, right? So Soup Search, if I go to the bin, there is soup. And I didn't even make it a text file. I could have, but if you notice when I opened it, I didn't make it a text file. Okay, so there's the open statement. So I opened soup. And soup is inside the bin. See, I said here, file open, file one, the name is soup, open it in input mode, which means open it to read. And so, and this is such a simple way of doing it, and they've stopped now. The way that they do it now is far more complex. But I rely back on this one periodically because it just is so easy. So here is soup. And we will hit their way of doing it as we go along. Open it as a text file, notepad. Okay, can't open it because I am running. So let me stop my running. And now I can open it. Okay, so there is my file, and this is the item number, this is order number, it's actually the order number, this is the order number. This is the item number, and this is the number on it. And so if you remember, the first thing we read was 111112, which ended up being Clonchella, and we wanted Winnable. Okay, so that is my file that I'm reading. Okay, so I'm going to close the file. And you can see when I run it, that first one, when I click on read, come on, when I click on read, it read that first record, which was 111112. And then it went to the table and figured out that 12 should be Clonchella. Okay? So I'm taking data in. I am figuring out that if he wanted item number 12, they wanted corn chowder, and I am writing that on the form.
What determined that 12 was corn chowder? Oh.
The fact that, okay, when we did a search, just like we did before, but that 12 is index 1 and corn chowder is index 1. So they go together. They're both index 1. And if we go down in the code a ways, okay, I've got a bunch of code down here, one of which is the search. Okay, and I did the search as a function. Okay, we looked at functions before, and I did the search as a function.
What's the green?
Pardon me?
What does the green mean under the search array?
It apparently isn't happy with me about something. Function search array by value work item number. I didn't dim work item number. Can I do it up at the top as a global?
I must have. Without an as clause, return to type of object assume.
What did it say?
It says a function without an as clause, return type of object assume.
Oh. As. Okay, so it probably wants me to say as, well, I can't since I'm running. as, let's see, integer. Okay, now that's happy. Still doesn't too happy with search array. Function without an as clause, but it has an as clause. Okay, why doesn't it like search array?
The as clause is inside.
Right? Yeah, but the as clause, oh, that's right. You're right. As, what is it returning? So as string. Ta-da, now it's happy. Notice it worked before it was happy. Okay. We didn't used to have to put all that in, and obviously, as I said, this is a version that I wrote before. So basically, now what they want is they wanted the as on here telling that work item number was an integer, and they wanted the as string, meaning I'm returning a string. So those are the two things that they wanted fixed. Okay. So I've got my, now I've got it fixed. Only if I take the notes out on the bottom one, it's going to make the same demands on me. Okay, that it wants to have the as tell me what type of data it is. Okay, so first of all, the first thing up here, and then we'll look at this, is a subroutine, which is, the subroutine is the button read. And this is one of the ones that's associated with the button. So when I click the button, it is going to read. And it's saying, if not end of file, then input, and you have to take in the fields separately, so, which is a pain. So I'm saying input from file one, work item number, then input from file one, work item number, and then input the other. Take all of those three and put them in the text box. And you saw me put them in the text boxes. Yeah.
So the one is just because you have one file?
That's right.
Okay.
And then I said go do search array. I commented this one out. Those do the same thing. Okay. So I commented one of them out. And so it will keep going. If it is end of file, it puts up the message box that says end of file reached, and it makes the button read invisible, which is an important thing to do. When you reach end of file, it's good to make the button that allows you to read go away so that people don't keep clicking, because sooner or later they're going to get an error. Okay, if they can keep clicking at it. In other words, it's patient with you and tells you it's end of file, but then if you keep clicking, it's gone past end of file, kind of, and then it's not happy. So it's always a good idea when you put up the message box that says end of file reached, or just when you reach it, to make the button that you can click to read go away, because if it's end of file, you obviously can't read anymore, right? So I want to make that go away. Okay, now look at the ones, the two things I have here. Look at the do while and the do until. The do while is what we looked at last time when we were looking at something. And this time I've got match indicator equals no, and I had coded the number. So I've got do while match indicator equals no, and the item number is greater, less than 9, okay? Because if I look up here, I go 0 through 8. So there are 9 things, but I go 0 through 8, okay? Now, look at the do until. The do until says, do until item subroutine is greater than 8, or match indicator equals Y. Okay, so one of these is telling what the conditions to stay in, right? These are the conditions to stay in doing the loop. Okay, because if the item sub is less than 9, that means I haven't checked anything. and no, which means I haven't found anything, then I'm going to stay in and do the loop. The until is the clause to get out. I want to get out if item sub is greater than 8, because it only goes up to 8, or if I find it. So notice the way it works. The stuff to keep it in are, I want to stay in if both of these are true. The one that is the until, which is the get out, I have get out if either of these is not true. So I'm using an or there. I'm using an and down below. These accomplish exactly the same thing. On the and, I'm saying stay in if it's less than 9 and no. And, both of them. And on the get out, I'm saying get out if it's greater than 8 or yes. So, well, that's really what I'm doing down here, is because if this gets changed to yes, I'm out.
Yeah, but both of them would have to be true, correct?
Right. So. And both of them has to be true to stay in. Yeah. And if either one is not true, it gets out. So basically the getting out is, if this is no longer less than 9 or this is no longer no, which is kind of what I wrote up there. Okay. So on the get out, I'm telling it either of the conditions to get out. But on the stay in, I'm saying both of these have to be true to stay in. Which is actually the 30 seconds that we're spending talking about this, it's actually extremely important to kind of think about. That the whole phrasing of it is, the and is what I need to keep in this case. I need two things to keep going. And when I do the or until, I'm talking about do it until one of these things happens. Okay? Do while these are both true, or do until something isn't true. Okay. The next one. I don't know what I did, but I don't think I want to save any changes. The next one is going to be substring soup. Now this one I think is really neat. Okay. What I have done here is I've combined the two arrays. So I've got the number followed by the name. Okay. So I've got the department number is the first two characters, and starting at character 3 I have the department name. Now, originally, seafood chowder was only items 3, but I need the same number of characters for the name, so I made it 03, because 03 is the same as 3, okay, because I needed 2 characters for one and the rest of the characters for the other, but I needed consistency. I couldn't have one of them one character, one of them 2 characters. Because what I'm going to have to do is break this up and know where the name starts. Okay? So, I've set this up now in one array. Okay. And we have the same problem down here that we had in the other one, where I need the as integer.
Yeah, that's what you didn't say.
Huh?
That's what you didn't say.
That's what I didn't say? Okay, as string. Oh, well, we can figure it out the next time I use this example. So, I've got my button read and I've got my button process, and they're pretty much the same, except that now they're in one array. And so what I said here, and I used an until on this one as opposed to the where, you can go either way with it. I have two versions of it. I'm going to look at the one that's not commented out first, and then I'll look at the one that is commented out. So I said, okay, go to the array.
Any chance I can get the array to show along with that? Well, I can get some of it to show at least. I can get the bottom two, the bottom three to show. So I'm saying go to item array, modified by item sub, dot substring 02. So what does that mean?
Numbers that's gonna
exactly. It's the first two. Substring 0, 2 means starting at 0, take 2. So it's saying compare work item number to the first two characters of the array that the subscript is pointing to. So the subscript points to one of them, and it then says, but only compare the first two characters to the item number that came in. So this item number that's coming in is two characters. It compares to the first two. Okay. So if I run this now, and I do a read, it comes up with the conch outer because it found the first two. And then read, and let's see, I'll keep going. And there's a 3, and it was fine. It found the 3 as seafood chowder. And if you go up, the 3 is indeed seafood chowder. So the 3 coming in as a single digit worked. That's why I was trying to show you the 3. And then we go on, and 34 is not found. 15 is clam chowder. And it keeps going like that. So I am saying down there, go to the array, find the one that the subscript is pointing to, and take the first two characters. Go to the array that the subscript is pointing to, and so the subscript, when the subscript is 6, it would be pointing to this one. Take the first two characters, it takes the 27, and it compares, is the white item number entered in equal to 27? Because if the index was 6, it's going through, remember, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. When it gets to 6, and I'm picking 6 because that shows, when it gets to the 6th one, I'm saying take the first two characters. And so I'm comparing the 27 to the 27. So what we have going on here is a function that is developed by Visual Basic inside the function. And we are taking something from the array dot a function. So that's a pretty neat line. The other way of doing it is, remember I told you that left and right used to work, and then they made left and right mean something else? So if you want to continue to use left and right, you have to write Microsoft Visual Basic dot left, and then it will let you use it. And so here I said, take the leftmost characters, go to item array that the subscript is pointing to, and take the leftmost two characters. Take the leftmost two characters. So either one of those works. Substring is the way they would prefer nowadays, but either one of those works. Now, when I find a match, I change the match indicator to yes, and I get out because I leave when the item sub is greater than 8, or match indicator goes yes, so I get out. And I drop down to the thing at the bottom, which says, if match indicator equals yes, then return. So again, I'm going to take the one that's not marked out. Return item array that the subscript is pointing to, dot substring 2. That means start at character 2. And remember, it counts 0, 1. So 2 is the third character in. So it takes the starting at the third character. And if I don't put a comma or something else, then it knows that it should take to the end. And up here, instead of using left, I use mid. And I said, go to the element that the subscript is pointing to. Start at character 3. So mid doesn't do the 0 bit. It does the 1, 2, 3 bit. Start at character 3 and take to the end. Because there's no comma and anything after it. So that means take to the end. So I think this is kind of a neat program. I liked this one. And since you're taking programming, you must be as strange as I am, so hopefully you like this one too. Questions?
How is it getting to the text box? That's just, like, how is it getting split up and set up? How does it know when you read it that you're getting the 27 into that text?
Keep trying to make me understand what you're asking.
Well, because in the array, you have two arrays in one.
Right, but that's because I look at, I take in the item number.
Yeah.
And so I've got the item number, and then I'm saying go to the array and take the first two characters,
but that's just the number, correct?
Yes.
On your return item array, item dot sub dot substring 2, that's only giving you the number, correct?
That's right. This is giving me the number,
yeah.
And I'm using that for comparison purposes.
Okay.
And then this is taking from the third character on out, and that I'm using to display.
Oh, all right.
So when I find a match, I go down there and I say start at the third character. Whether I use mid where I say 3 to start at the third character, or substring where I say 2 to start at the third character, it starts at the third character. Okay, anything else? Okay. I'm going to quickly look and see if I skipped any that I want to do. And then we will start looking at two-dimensional arrays. Okay, all the airfares. Array for each. What does that do? Yeah, this is one that we should look at too. Okay, So now if I hit the get data, it says enter the budget for department zero. So I think I gave them a little too much money. Okay, so, Department 5 is doing well. Okay. Department 2 and 3 ought to complain. So, on this one, I was doing the enter into the array. And so I said, here's my array, budget array of 5, and budget array I equals the input, so it's whatever I enter in is going to be going into I. Okay, so I've created the array because I am saying put it into budget array modified by I, and then I'm also displaying it in the list box. So I put it together rather than displaying it. Lots of times I like to do this instead of having the our items add and then putting the whole thing in there. I kind of get it ready and put it into work info, and then I display it. And it's two steps instead of one, but I think it makes it clearer to me at least. So I put in the department number concatenated with I, and that's department zero. Now again, we have the problem that we talked about, that who has a department zero? Okay, so basically on this, what you would probably do is have the array go up to 6 and have the 4 statement start at 1 and just put in, you know, nothing into the other one. However, doing that will then be a problem in the for each, because the for each will run through the entire array. So you'll see invalid department number or something there if you do a for each. So process data does a for each, and it ran through, oh, actually in this one it's okay because I could put in 0 as the department 0. So it ran through, for each runs through. And so it says for each, and I make up a name here that I define, for each work department budget in budget array. So for each means it will run through the entire array and add the department budget to the total budget. And it will just, for each means for each element in the array. Okay, so for each element in the array. And for you that have had PHP, you've seen that. And that's not you three, but it may be them. You've seen that there as well. So for each element in the budget array, I'm adding it to the total, and then I'm going to put out the total down below. Mm-hmm. So my main purpose here was to show the for each. That was the reason for this program, because there's really nothing else particularly in this program. And then I think there was another for each, so we'll take a look at that. And then I will look before Thursday and figure out if I missed any of them. So we had the for each too. That makes sense that might follow. I actually don't see anything I did differently there, except I put the 6 up at the top, the 1 to 6, that's what I did. So I put the 6 up at the top, and down here I said make department array 0 equal to 0, and then go from 1 to 6. So it's basically what I talked about in the last one. I forgot this one was here. And so it just went through and department zero had a zero budget. So it didn't mess anything up. Sometimes the for each can mess it up, however, if you have a word that you are displaying, like the name of the department, then you end up seeing all the time not a valid department.
Okay.
Okay, we're out of time. So we're done.
Can I show you something?
Yep.
Real quick.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Let me just save this, however. C-156, March 10th, 15. I still haven't accepted the fact that we're in 15. Somehow this whole semester, I don't know.
It really flew by.
It really, and the snow and the listening to the weather every night and seeing if the school's going to really happen. It just doesn't seem like we're really at mid-semester. We've been kind of playing around with this stuff up till now, and we're at mid-semester.
Well, great.
At least the snow's going away, though.
Yeah, although I still have a thing in front of my house that is probably 12 feet high.
I couldn't see my fence, but now I can see like half of it.
That's good.
It's supposed to rain and snow at least two more times next week.
What I'm worried about is the flooding of my basement that's going to happen with that.
Yeah, a lot of people are in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. No, I went home last Tuesday and there was a leak. We have a little overhang on the second floor and there was a leak coming down from there, an ice dam. So we had to hire people to come in and clear away the ice dams.
Happened in my house. My dad and I both got on the roof and started shoveling the snow off. We had about 6 inches of ice on our roof.
Yeah, they went up there with sledgehammers. You probably did too.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, no. You and your dad, huh? More power to you. I spent the $275 to hire somebody to do it. Because my husband looked at it and there's no way I'm going up there. And there's clearly no way I was going up there.
Obviously, otherwise, it's validated, and then I did the whole like gift statement to get the whole.
Okay. Let me look at it when you send it to me.
Yeah.
If you did it, tomorrow's correcting day.
Yeah.